Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. I'm back from cruising, so that means it's time for another show. This week, Gareth Greenaway joins me. We're going to talk about Free PBX, the PBX system that it gets interfaced with a GUI, controls asterisk, and can run all your small office to huge system needs. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Gareth Greenaway. Episode 276, recorded December 11th, 2013. Free PBX. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I'm your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneEngine.com, bringing you as often as I can the movers, the shakers, the big projects, little projects, projects you may be using every day, projects you may never have heard of, and sometimes that even invites people to use new things. Very awesome. I'm back. I've been gone on a couple of cruises. I hope I was at least missed by a few of you out there. I missed all you, but in doing this job. I still have one more cruise coming up before the year's end, and I'm kind of happy to be on land for a week or so. I'm back down in Culver City working, in fact, for the guy that puts the cruises on, my friend Captain Neil, and I'm also on a Clearwire hotspot, which may actually cause trouble during the show, so please forgive us if my video or my audio is a little more dodgy than it normally is. Always joined by a co-host, no exception to this week. Gareth Greenaway, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Randall. Good. Glad to be back.
Cool. And where are you? Well, I think I know where you're speaking to us from. You're up in Thousand Oaks, right?
Yep. Still in Thousand Oaks. A cool morning in Thousand Oaks this morning.
Well, cool, of course, by SoCal standards, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, cold is a relative term, but yeah, it's cold by California standards.
Cool. Well, we have a really exciting project today. It's called Free PBX. And I was just given a note from the marketing director moments ago to be able to give you sort of the quick view of all I know about it, which is that it's based on Asterisk. And Asterisk, of course, itself is just an engine. And what Free PBX adds to that is the PBX capabilities, dial plan logic, and extra features that turn into a PBX and all managed from a nice GUI. I don't know much about this otherwise. I've been staring at the website for about 45 minutes, and there's a lot of details there, but not a lot of the high-level view, and so we'll have to get that from the guests when we bring them on in a few minutes. Have you sorted this out at all, Gareth?
I have not looked at Free PBX at all. I played with Asterisk in the past, and it's a really awesome piece of software, and I know there's been a few different projects like Free PBX. it's a tongue twister.
Tough to see in the morning, yes.
Yeah, but no, I'm definitely interested to hear what our guests have to say about it.
Well, I think the best way to do that is to go ahead and bring them on. Let's go ahead and bring on Tony Lewis. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Okay, what is your relationship with the project?
I'm actually the CEO of SmoothCom Inc., which is the corporate sponsor of the Free PBX project.
Okay, and you heard my sort of awkward explanation based on only one sentence that was sent to me. Can you sort of fill us in a little bit? How does this fit in with the world of telephony and VoIP and PBXs?
Free PBX at a high level is a management interface to Asterisk, we'll call it. But it also is much more than that. It does a lot of the business logic for Asterisk to figure out what the features are in the PBX. Asterisk's kind of your engine that gives you the toolkit, but you have to build your features. So it's kind of what Free PBX does and presents it into a GUI to manage and set up your phone system. It's actually been around since 2005, even before my time. We've been involved in the project since 2007. We've been one of the lead developers on the project since 2008. And shortly, about a year ago, there was another corporate sponsor involved in Free PBX. We purchased the domain name and trademark from them, and kind of the only corporate sponsor behind the project currently.
Great. Well, I've got a lot more questions for you, but I also don't want to leave out our other guest, Andrew Nagy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Hi. Where are you speaking to us from?
I am in Anaheim, California.
Oh, so you're just a stone's throw from me, because I'm over just west of Culver City, so, or just south of Culver City, yeah. So what's your relationship with the project?
I'm a developer for Schmooze.com, so I work for Tony. I was actually involved with the project as just an open source contributor since 2009 till around October of last year. And then I got involved part-time and then full-time with Schmooze.com.
Cool. And what brought you to FreePBX as an open source contributor? What was appealing to it for you?
I got involved because I was working at an entertainment company and they had a phone system there. And I really wanted to figure out what it was because it was behind all the phones were connected over Ethernet lines. I didn't understand what that was at the time in terms of like VoIP. I didn't understand VoIP. So I slowly started to hack it apart, and I figured out eventually that it was FreePBX. And then I just wanted to start contributing to improve features for my own company's stuff. And then I left that company, and I've just been involved ever since.
And just so we can bring everybody up to speed, I know all the answers to these things, but what's VoIP and how does it differ from, say, traditional phone system?
VoIP is voice over IP. It's making a telephone call really over Ethernet or data lines. You can also it's in a PBX standpoint, an asterisk or free PBX standpoint, you can still make calls over PSTN, which is a local copper lines. You can make it over T1 lines, which are digital lines that sometimes carry internet, sometimes don't, or you can also do it over, you know, SIP or VoIP. I mean, it's all different types of VoIP. So it's really comes down to making calls over the internet instead of doing it the traditional way over copper lines.
So asterisk by itself doesn't have the kind of functionality that FreePBX is bringing to it in terms of having some sort of way to configure it and having a GUI to it?
Asterisk has no GUI anymore. They used to have one a while back. They have no GUI anymore. These days, it just when you get Asterisk, you get the engine, and they expect you to pull up a notepad or an editor and start writing dial plan is what they call it, which is their code language. FreePBX itself generates that code language, that dial plan, from people configuring an online GUI that we've designed.
Okay, and let's go back to Tony for a second. How is Schmooze.com involved then? You said it's a corporate sponsor. How does that relationship work?
Everything from marketing, management of the website, the infrastructure that runs FreePBX, the 30 different servers that make up the FreePBX infrastructure, from websites and Yum servers and repos and server monitoring servers and servers that provision other servers. So we handle all of that. And then most of the development in FreePBX, similar to Asterisk, being done by Digium employees, the sponsor of Asterisk, most of the development in FreePBX is done by developers that work and are paid for by Schmooze.com.
Okay, now, using the free as in free beer version of the word, if I downloaded the FreePBX distro, what could I do with it? What problems could I solve with it?
You can create a full-fledged PBX, register your extensions to it, bring in some trunking, whether that's analog lines, SIP trunking, T1s, PRIs, anything, and build your IVRs, build ACD queuing, conference rooms, one-on-one video calls, almost anything you can dream of in a PBX, the stock open source free PBX will do for you.
Okay, so then, but I would have to host this in my own servers and do my own high availability management and things like that, right?
Correct. You would install this on your own server. We do have a partnership with a data center company. You can get free PBX hosted in a data center designed by us and the hosting company. I think it starts about $20, $25 a month for that service.
Well, I saw a lot of plugins for this that looked like they were commercial plugins. What would some of those be, and what other problems does those solve?
So most of the commercial modules are vertical market features or enhancing features inside of FreePBX with things that customers have specifically asked for. Commercial modules are designed as a way to help pay for this FreePBX ecosystem and all the work that the developers and Schmooze as a company does for the project. So generally, commercial modules are more lateral market or specific higher-end features that your average small and medium-sized business wouldn't need.
Okay, and who are the other players in this marketplace? Are there any other open-source players in this marketplace?
Oh, I'm I'm sure there are. I mean, Free PBX itself is used by lots of different players, meaning if you download Asterisk now from the Digium website, it includes Free PBX. PBX in a Flash by Ward Mundy is Free PBX. Elastics is Free PBX. Trixbox, which isn't around anymore, was based on Free PBX. All those projects use our GUI code base.
Wow. Are you familiar with Ascosia?
I am not, no.
Okay, we had them on the show about 2 years ago, and it sounds like a really similar offering, so I was just sort of wondering if they were Free PBX. Probably not, then, if you are not familiar with them. What about something like Funality? Would that be similar?
Funality's Trixbox was built on top of Free PBX.
Oh, okay, cool. And so how is the organization governed? I mean, obviously, you know, you're paying the bills. Schmoozcom is paying the bills, so does Schmoozcom decide the roadmap?
To a reason it does. I mean, we take feedback. We have a complete bug and feature tracker donated by Atlassian, the same software Digium and lots of other open source projects use. So people create features. People can submit patches and features that they've built back into the product. You know, we kind of take our cue from our feature and bug tracker. I know the last, I believe it was the 2.11 release that went out early this year. I believe it was about 75% of all the features and bug reports that we closed were opened by community members. So we kind of try to take our cue from the community members.
So going back to the kind of what Free PBX is, kind of like a manager for a lot of the configuration of Asterisk. One of the things that I had found in the past in my work with Asterisk in using a lot of these, a lot of the front ends that kind of manage that is they work really well as long as I was kind of staying within their walled garden in terms of what I could do. How does Free PBX handle a situation like that? Like if I want to do something beyond what its management system allows me to do.
Well, two ways we handle it. And it's funny, this morning I was just actually talking to Malcolm from Digium. And we're talking about complex features and how complex features and flexibility creates a very ugly GUI. And Free PBX, lots of us will call it an ugly GUI, meaning it gives you so much rope you can hang yourself. We allow you to hook in anywhere. So a module can call another module and send destinations. You can almost build anything from the GUI with the ability of how modules can hook into another module and create your call flow. And then if you need to get really customized, everything we do includes, we build some included custom dial plan files inside of Asterisk that you can go and write your own dial plan that will get included back into Free PBX's dial plan to give you any of the flexibility you need beyond what we've designed for business logic for you.
Okay. So if I wanted to customize the dial plan in a way beyond what FreeBX is allowing me to do, that option is possible.
It's possible in a lot of – it's possible in most scenarios, yes. In scenarios where maybe you want to modify how we're running out extensions, the extensions.com for an extension, that you're not going to be as – flexible for, but Free PBX being modular designed, any module can hook into another module. So a lot of times when somebody wants something custom done, we'll just whip up a simple, or they will whip up a simple PHP module that just hooks into the extension module and allows them to manipulate the dial plan any way they see fit.
Okay. So Free PBX is kind of it utilizes a lot of Asterisk. Is there any kind of PBX feature that Free PBX has that Asterisk doesn't have?
Actually, a lot of the features in Free PBX are not coded Asterisk features. And we'll give an example. Something in Asterisk, such as App Voicemail. App Voicemail itself is a C-level programmed application in Asterisk that doesn't allow you, without recompiling the C, to change its behavior. So there are things that we want to do in voicemail that weren't available in voicemail, so we create some patches to it. So one example is, yes, we patch Asterisk at times for features we need. The other example is we write a lot of what's called AGI scripts in different macros, and the way we do dial plan to build the logic the way our customers and users have asked for. For example, Follow Me. Asterisk has an application called App Follow Me. In our eyes, it was very limited what you could do with it, and our users wanted much more flexibility. Follow Me. So we rewrote Follow Me inside our own business logic for people.
Okay. How much of that code gets contributed back to Asterisk?
All of the code that he just mentioned right now, the Follow Me, the app voicemail, that is I should say that's all contributed back to FreePBX because that's all PHP level code. Asterisk doesn't really have anything to do with any PHP level code. The company ourselves, we all do patches. I did a patch against it's called Motif and XMPP, but it's really Google Voice. But that's a C level program for Asterisk written by Digium or Asterisk. I did a patch for it and I submitted it back to Asterisk. Philippe, the project lead, has done numerous patches back to Asterisk for free. Brian Walters, another developer from our company, has also done numerous patches. So as much as we do the free GUI and everything, we also try to submit patches back to Asterisk as much as possible because we try to have FreePBX running on the stock standard version of Asterisk. We don't want it to be running on, you have to patch Asterisk with 7 different patches from here and 8 different patches from here to be able to use FreePBX.
Okay, so most of the code that gets contributed back, Asterisk related, is specific bug fixes that you guys find within Asterisk. It's not like customizations that you have made to get FreePBX working.
There comes time that we will do a feature or two, and Asterisk was what I call brain dead and not allowing us to do what we wanted to do. So we'll build the feature and give it back to Digium. So we just submitted actually this week some changes to their res present state stuff that we're working on some new features in FreePBX. So we wrote the patch for it and sent it up to review board and it got approved this week and going into Asterisk 11. And we do this every year, maybe a half a dozen times where there's something that we need that isn't in Asterisk. And we could work around it and kind of hack it, but it's not the right way. So we'd rather just get a patch into Asterisk and let everybody outside of even FreePBX be able to benefit from that change.
Gotcha. So I think this answer was answered in one of the questions I answered, but what language is FreePBX primarily written in?
It's written in PHP. So if you've heard the word LAMP stack online, we consider this to be a LAMP stack, which means Linux, Asterisk, MySQL, PHP, and then Apache. Well, really, Apache would be first. But so it's written on PHP, and it utilizes MySQL as the backend.
What was the reason why PHP was chosen as the language for this?
I would say probably the reason PHP was chosen, it was actually originally started by a Coalescent group back in 2004, 2005. I think that it was just easier for them to use PHP at the time. And at some point, it was turned modular. So that means that you can load up a certain subsection of a FreePBX part that's just a few PHP files. You can upload it, and it's a module that connects into the main FreePBX subsystem, right? So because it's just been started as PHP, it's just continued PHP.
Okay.
I would say it's just because it was easier probably in the past. Maybe they just knew PHP. Those developers, the original, four or three guys are actually really hard to get a hold of. So it's hard to say what their reasoning or determination was to use PHP.
Well, and you kind of have to look at 2005. You kind of have to look at 2005. And at that time, PHP was all the rage. When FreePBX was first started, it was an easy web language to use.
Right, right. So shifting gears a bit, I'm wondering what the most interesting thing you guys have heard of someone using FreePBX for.
Okay. I think we hear weekly from people using it all over the place. I mean, well over a million production active systems currently in production. I've heard of things, universities and schools using it for just even simple, one school system using it as a voicemail system with over 20,000 voicemail boxes using FreePBX to manage and configure their voicemail boxes. nothing jumps out on the top of my head as like a really cool thing, because I guess we just hear them daily that it's just a second nature to hear about the things people are doing with it.
Hey, yeah. So looking at that in terms of scaling, how do you measure how much hardware you're going to have to manage a given set of phones and stuff?
That's the age old question that people ask all the time that we can never really give a real answer to, meaning it depends what type of calling you're doing. Are you doing hardware transcoding or any software transcoding? Are you doing a lot of conference rooms, which add more resources, or a lot of queuing? We generally say something like an Atom board, just a simple modern day Atom board with two gigs of memory. You're going to get anywhere from 30 to 50 simultaneous calls in that box without breaking a sweat.
But I mean, you can go as low as getting 5 to 7 calls on a Raspberry Pi or a BeagleBoard. I mean, those are out there. They don't necessarily support all the features. You can't make 30, 50, 100 calls on something like that, but it, you can load up Asterisk, you can load up FreePBX, you can load up the whole Lampa stack and put it on there and test it out with 5 to 7 calls, Google Voice, VoIP provider, anything you want.
Well, that sort of begs the next question, which is what platforms will this run on? Do I need a particular flavor of Linux? Can I run this on FreeBSD if I prefer that?
So there's two parts to FreePBX. There's the FreePBX GUI, which is what FreePBX originally started as, which can run on basically any LAMP stack you pick. And then there's the FreePBX distro, which is a complete ISO that includes whatever different flavors of they're all based on CentOS at the time. So from CentOS 5 all the way up to the latest 6.5 that just came out last week, we have pre-compiled ISOs for you that you can use that will install everything, including Asterisk and Dotty and all the utilities you need.
You probably don't have to scale the web GUI because that's basically being used by some administrators, right? So probably not a lot of high availability or high bandwidth on that. But can you cluster the actual engine that's doing the web calls, and does it sort of handle that automatically, or do I need to do a lot of thinking about how to have bandwidth spread out over a number of machines?
As far as load balancing your calls, it's not anything really FreePBX itself handles. FreePBX configures Asterisk, and FreePBX is on the same box as Asterisk. As far as high availability for failovers and stuff, there's a complete new HA solution. It's one of the commercial solutions that we offer that gives a true HA with heartbeat, floating IPs, pacemaker and DRBD and everything configured for you. All you need to do is know your floating IP address, plug it in, and it sets everything up for you.
Well, that's awesome. Very cool. And you talked earlier about inter-module communication and modules using each other. What's the protocol on that? Is that like a text-based protocol, or do you have to use a particular language with a particular RPC?
It's all PHP. So we have some coding guidelines and standards, and it just depends on what the modules have said as a hook. So if I upload a module that extends some voicemail stuff, I have to already expect that the voicemail module that we've written in PHP, this all in PHP, already has the hooks established so that I can call those for my module. You can upload them. You can get them from our repository. People can work on them privately and upload them. You know of a few people who have worked on some private stuff for their companies where they just upload these modules in internal. We never see them. But they're hooking and linking, and it's kind of ad hoc right now. Not every module has the same hooks. Different modules do hooking different ways. It's something that we're just improving over time. The reason for that is because the project was started by 3 different people and then was transferred to another 2 different people and then was transferred to another 5 different people. You know, just like open source projects, they change over time. So there's some parts of FreePBX that are still 2004 code. There's some parts that are 2007. There's some parts that are 2013. So it's hard to say that, like, if there's an RPC or a spec or for the modules. I mean, we're trying to improve that over time, but for right now, it just depends on whatever you're trying to hook into. You have to go look at it yourself.
And how about integration with Office? Go ahead.
I was going to say, part of that problem is we've debated for a long time of doing a complete rewrite of FreePBX from the ground up. And it was started with what was called FreePBX V3, which got spun off into what's currently the Blue Box project running on FreeSwitch. And we came to the conclusion that to do it is going to break everyone's systems out there. And we've been very conscious in FreePBX from day one to not break systems on upgrades and always offer an upgrade pass. So we've changed the last 2 years and decided we're going to take big chunks of old FreePBX code and rewrite them one chunk at a time in place so that we're not abandoning that user base of 1.8 million systems out there that are currently active and leaving them with no upgrade pass. So we're going to take it one chunk at a time. And the current 2.12 we're working on is going to address some major core changes in the modular admin system in FreePBX.
As I'm administering this, I'm obviously, let's say I'm the VoIP administrator for a small office, and I probably have like LDAP or some other kind of database that has like all the desks everybody's sitting at and their names and probably their extension numbers. Is there an easy way to integrate that LDAP into FreePBX, or is that at the wrong level? I don't know whether Asterisk can handle it directly, whether I could just tell Asterisk to go look it up all the time, or is there some way to kind of bring that information across from so I don't have to just retype it from a spreadsheet?
Currently, no. There is a bulk import tool in FreePBX that you can use to add and edit users' extensions from CSV, but as far as like an LDAP integration, no, because a user has a lot of different information, and to go and set that all up in LDAP, you're talking probably 40, 50 different fields that you would need to set up in LDAP to bring into FreePBX. We've just never seen enough benefit to it.
Okay, so there's a manual process involved there, so I still have a job, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. What's in the future for this? What's something coming up in the roadmap? What are the features that are missing that you really want to have show up in the next 6 months to a year?
I'll start on a couple and let Andrew hit on where he's kind of working on for the 12 stuff. Some of the features that we're really spending some time on right now is twofold. Really wrapping FreePBX around a proper REST API. So we've started a new REST API module that's trying to wrap most of the functions you can do from the FreePBX GUI inside REST API so external applications can call it. And we've got a good chunk of that work done already, and we're actually using that REST API module to manage a new application called our REST Apps, which is building phone-side apps. Currently, we're supporting all the Astra phones, the Yealink phones, and the Digium phones. So we might build something like a Follow Me management app, and it will work across and look and feel and function the same way across Astra, Yealink, and Digium, even though those phones use completely different protocols to actually interact with apps on the phone. And that all talks back to the REST API inside of FreePBX.
Cool. And tagging along on top of that REST API functionality, Asterisk 12, which is coming out, which is in beta right now, and which is what we're writing our FreePBX 12 version on for, utilizes REST API. So Asterisk now has a mini web server that sends out that you can connect over WebSockets, you can do REST API, you can basically generate your own voicemails like app. Instead of using the voicemail app we talked about earlier that's written in C, you can now connect to it over REST API and WebSockets and generate your own voicemail app. So in terms of FreePBX 12, we're going to start linking into that. We're going to start using Asterisk 12's REST API. And I mean, it looks really cool for the future of Asterisk and FreePBX.
So what's ShmoozeCom's business model? I'm sure there's like you've got to figure out a way to, you know, pay for all the people that are there. And you do hosting? Do you do or you got the hosting partner or whatever? Premium services, premium plugins. But how else does the business model work?
So for the last 2 years, our whole business is focused around FreePBX. So every revenue, everything we do is around FreePBX. We're a debt-free company with no outside shareholders, any outside investment money. you know, we're just shy of, you know, we're around 20 employees, most of them on development staff, and then some sales and marketing and internal graphics and video guys. But as far as our revenue, it's all around the free PBX, what we call the ecosystem. So it's the different commercial add-ons, it's support contracts, it's consulting some, a lot more sometimes than we'd like. It seems that consulting is always distracting when you're trying to get a product out the door. It's our hosting solution. It's our commercial version of free PBX called PB Exact, which is a commercially supported version by us. It's the same free PBX code base with all of our commercial modules already included in it, with a 24/7 support contract from us and upgrades managed by us, monitoring by us, more of a turnkey, fully supported solution for somebody who wants a single person to call and wring their neck. And then also a product we have called SIP Station that we purchased from bandwidth.com about a year ago, which is SIP trunking natively built into free PBX that makes setup and managing your SIP trunking really simple in free PBX. You go to our store, you buy the product you want, you get a key code, you paste that in your free PBX system, and it auto sets up all your phone numbers you bought, the trunks that connect to us, all your routing and everything automatically for you.
So what is your kind of, what is ShmoozeCon's typical customer look like? Is it someone that is currently using a like an old style analog phone system, or someone that's using like a really expensive VoIP solution and if they want something a little better? Kind of what does your typical customer look like?
Our real typical customer is a free PBX user who is buying some commercial add-ons or buying our trunking service from us. As far as like our commercial PBX, what our typical user is, it's generally more medium-sized businesses. There's quite a few small businesses, but it's more medium businesses who need that single neck to ring when there's a problem. So, you know, they're, I would say 75 to 1,000 extensions is our typical install on our commercial platform.
So what is it about free PBX and the solutions that you guys offer that appeals to them over, say, like an expensive 3Com system or like a VIA system?
The freedom of choice. So, you know, free PBX, the word free isn't, even though it's a free product and open source, it's not referring to the freeness of free PBX. It's referring to the freedom of choice. You know, we currently support auto-configuring point-and-click setup of over 250 endpoints, of SIP endpoints, so phones, overhead paging devices. We support currently over 200 different PSTN cards that will auto-set up and discover your PSTN cards for connecting to analog or PRI. So it's really the freedom of choice and the freedom of flexibility. We're not going to lock you into anything.
That's good. How many of your kind of new customers are coming from those like expensive systems?
Most of them actually do. So for example, at our commercial level, they're either people who have free PBX systems in place, but they don't want to stick with just a open source free PBX. The management team or investors want more of a commercial product behind it, so they'll upgrade to our PB Exact. Or it's people who are on a legacy, what we call a legacy proprietary system already, and they want to move to something more flexible and open, but they don't, once again, want to sit on a completely open source platform that they have no back-end support and nobody to scream at. We do offer, you know, paid support for free PBX customers, but there's no SLAs, and you know, it's at the free PBX level only, where if you're buying PB Exact, we're supporting the hardware, the operating system, and all the way up.
Okay. Can you just talk a bit briefly about that PB Exec, is it?
Okay. Yep.
The kind of the differences between that and free PBX.
So at its core, it's free PBX with a new skinning. So it doesn't have free PBX and it doesn't talk about free PBX in the actual GUI interface. And then it adds a whole bunch of commercial modules that you could buy on top of free PBX. Things like these REST apps we're talking about, or our Endpoint Manager, which lets you manage over 250 devices, or like our Park Pro, which lets you have multiple parking lots and share parking lots between users, have public shared lots. So just a bunch of more lateral market features. Okay. And then, like I said, the big thing is the support. We support it. We handle all upgrades from the kernel and the operating system all the way up to Asterisk and everything else for you.
We're almost out of time, but I just wanted to come in and ask our typical couple of questions we ask at the end of the show. The most important one being, is there anything we didn't ask that you really wanted to make sure our audience is aware of?
I can't think of anything.
Cool. Well, that's a sign of good preparation, I guess. Okay, cool. Thanks. And first for Tony, I don't know how much of a programmer you are, but what's your favorite scripting language if you're a programmer?
Oh, God. My programming skills are limited to hacked up bash scripts in regexes that nobody else wants to touch. Otherwise, I stay out of the development side of things, thank God.
Yeah, well, wait a second. Regexes that nobody else wants to touch, isn't that all of them?
Pretty much.
And so you probably don't have – sorry, go ahead.
I pride myself in Q&A. I do a lot of the Q&A here because otherwise I feel like I'm too disconnected from our own product. So I've become the king of Q&A in Schmooze and Free PBX. I find the things that nobody else could even dream would happen. And everyone knows when they send it to me, there's a good chance if there's a problem, I'm going to find it.
Wow, great. And so you're probably not much of a text editor guy, but if you had a favorite text editor, what would it be?
It's Vim.
Oh, God. All right. Anyway, I can't get a winner on this show. Cannot get a winner. Nobody does the Emacs anymore.
What's yours, Randall? Emacs. Oh, Emacs, see, I'm still a Nano guy, too. I use Nano a lot, and everyone makes fun of me. I try to use Vim more, but Nano just is more intuitive to me.
Oh, yeah, it's because it looks like Emacs. I mean, it's like a watered-down Emacs. It's really cool. Right. Cool. Okay, so then over to Andrew. Same first and second question, which is first question would be, what's your favorite scripting language? I bet I guess what it is.
My favorite's probably – it's Python. Well, it's not PHP.
Really?
I work in PHP. I know PHP really well, but I know the fallacies of PHP and the downfalls, and I talk about it every day with the rest of the development staff because we just have to keep that realization of the language itself and what it is. So I know PHP the best. My favorite is probably Python. I really like Python 3.
Yeah. See, I can't get a winner on this show. Oh, well, go ahead.
What's your favorite language then?
Duh. Let's see. What would I write 5 books about and the number one user of Perl?
Okay. I just saw a graph that was showing it was going down over the years. The amount of
searches for it are going down, but that's because everybody knows where to find stuff about it.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yes, that's probably my favorite language is Python. And PHP is the second just because I know it so well.
Yeah, and I'm going to lose on the text editor column too, right?
It's Vim.
God. A scoreboard over here is way offset on the right-hand side for a long time here. All right, anyway.
I'm told only old people use things like Nano and Emacs and, when I first started in it, well, Pico. Pico was the other one I used to use. Everyone nowadays uses Vim, and they sit at Starbucks with their Mac laptops.
Yeah. Or they use those cool editors that the Ruby guys were using with the cool TextEdit, TextMate, something like that, with all the cool little triangles that expose things and stuff, but whatever. Anyway, all right, now I'm going way off topic, but first off, I just want to say thank you guys both for coming on the show and telling us about Free PBX. Hopefully we've stirred up some interest for you and what it is. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. That was Tony Lewis and Andrew Nagy talking about both their company Schmoozcom and about FreePBX, which is the service they support. What do you think, Gareth?
It definitely sounds interesting. I mean, I like the fact that, like, the question I asked of whether or not you could use FreePBX to manage your Asterisk system, but at the same time be able to customize your configuration to your dial plans. I mean, that's in my book, that's a big plus.
Well, you had a really great question somewhere in the middle there, where you're talking about, you know, how GUIs can get complicated when you're trying to manage lots of complex things, and that was a nice little discussion going on there. I've seen that so often, and especially when it's like, you know, we'll just put a simple GUI up in front of this really complex system because obviously it makes it easier for other people to use. But then the problem is, what if you want to do something that's slightly outside the GUI? At what point do you have to cross that great chasm between drag and drop and put my phone trunk over here and my other stuff over there? And then it's like, no, but I also then need to do high availability. So that system's actually two systems. And where do I type that in my GUI? Really great problem there. And it was interesting. Great talking to these guys. I apologize for a couple of dropouts I had on the during the show and a couple of really bad soundings I probably had on there. Anything else, Gareth, before we move on to the what I usually do at the end?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's I encourage everyone to go check it out if they're interested in phone systems. If their company is using a big, expensive commercial phone system, they should definitely check out FreePBX. Looks interesting.
Definitely cool. So we do have some upcoming guests. Actually, the list is entirely different from the last time I was on this show. You guys have really been great at knocking out everybody that was on my previous upcoming guest list. Next week, we have Magnolia and Blossom, which all I know about them so far is they're a Java content management system. So Magnolia, I think, is the base thing, and Blossom sort of some plugins for it. I probably got that entirely wrong. Sadly, next week, I'll be coming to you from the same location, and hopefully the Clearwire modem will not be as complainy as it was today. I was going to say another word that started with a B, but I want to keep this clean. Following that, we have no shows. It just happens that Christmas and New Year's this year both fall on a Wednesday, and that means that we won't be doing any shows for 2 weeks in a row. We'll just be celebrating the holidays. Actually, I'll be on a cruise ship, so it won't really matter. It'll be great. I get to spend both Christmas and New Year's on the Queen Mary 2, heading down and back from New York to the Eastern Caribbean, hitting five islands there, which will be a lot of fun. Coming right back the first of the year, though, we'll have Arcos, which is data hosting that works on a Raspberry Pi. So if you ever wanted your data in a cloud, but the little cloud being right next to you over there rather than being in some weird cloud somewhere else, it's a full like web dev system and file system, things like that, but all running on a Raspberry Pi. That's all the rage these days. I hope we get Aaron on that one, because Aaron is a big Raspberry Pi fan. And then a few weeks later, just added to the schedule, actually all these were just added to the schedule since last time I was on, we got Go. We're going to talk about the board language. You know, you're on little squares, you put black and white stones. No. The programming language from Google, it's been being run. It's actually been around for a few years now. It's a high performance, multi-threaded language, does a lot of scaling, things like that. It's been quite the rage. This is similar in some ways to Dart, which we actually talked to a little while back, and they sort of dovetail a little bit. They're sort of somewhat overlapping problem spaces, but Go seems really interesting. We got one of the key developers on Go. I don't have his name in front of me, sadly. We are continuing to fill in Q1, though. Of course, I hope by the time we get the first show done in Q1, we have a show for the second week and the third week and the fourth week. I do have about three or four people that are in just negotiations about the actual date, so should just be a matter of me sending out email now that I'm back on land again. You can always follow us on twitch.tv/floss. We don't follow us there. You go there. It's been a while since it's been a show. Sorry. You go to twitch.tv/floss. We have the big spreadsheet there, linked from there, that talks about who we've got coming up. And if you see somebody, if you don't see somebody on the list that should be, email me, merlin@stoneedge.com, and either talk to the project leader or give me the project leader's email address. Don't make me hunt that down. Don't say, I just want this project on there. It doesn't do me any good. I just put that on the longer list, and you'll never get to it. So all these people have been shortlisted people that we've had recently in the show. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Google+. I try to post notes there as I schedule each additional person. I also try to, just before the show, announce who today's guests are. We also have a Twitter handle called Floss Weekly, all one word. We have a live chat room. We did take a couple of questions from the chat room, or we tried to take questions from the chat room, but Skype chat was being really mad at me today. That's live.twit.tv at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. Of course, the spreadsheet gives you specific times. We have to move it away from that. You can follow me at Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N, on Twitter. You can also follow me as Randall L. Schwartz on Google+. I have about 23,000 followers there now, and we chat about various things, including open source software, humor I may find during the day, my low-carb, high-fat lifestyle and diet and health kick, and all sorts of things. As I said at the beginning of the show, I've just come back from two cruises. I was around South America on a round-the-horn trip, like 12-day, I think that was. And the cruise I just flew back from was going down the Rhone River. That was really awesome. We started out going to CERN, which is where the Large Hadron Collider is. We had special privileges to be able to actually go down into the tunnel. That's really rare. Even when the scientists that work there, unless they actually need to work in the tunnel, they don't go down in the tunnel because it's a restricted access. But we have connections there. So actually on Thanksgiving Day, you can actually see my tweets and my pictures on that if you look at my streams, where I actually got to be right across from the CMS experiment. And it was pulled open so they could to get access to the inside, and we're doing some diagnosis on the inside. Man, that was just amazing. Just an awesome, this 12-story high machine, just the biggest machine in the world. So that was a lot of fun. And then from there, we went down the road, and then I ended up in Barcelona. And then I spent 26 hours getting from there back to Portland, Oregon. What an amazing travel experience. And then coming up, again, I'm going to be going out to out of New York on the Queen Mary 2 down to Eastern Caribbean, five islands down there. For those of you who know that I've been looking for work, I just signed a contract yesterday. It's an open-ended contract, so I'm looking to get probably 6 months to a year to 2 years of work out of them. It's mostly in L.A. Well, it's partly in L.A. They're actually based here in Santa Monica. But I get to work remotely most of the time, so I may actually be working from home for a while, which would be really nice to sleep in my own bed. I've been asked by Ben Everhard, who's with the Linux Voice podcast, Linux Voice magazine and Linux Voice podcast. They're just starting up, linuxvoice.com. You can go check them out. And I'm talking about them. I don't normally plug other podcasts, but they are actually going to be interviewing me soon. It was supposed to be done by the time this podcast happened, but with all my travel schedule, it just didn't work out. So go check out linuxvoice.com. They have a few episodes of their podcast up already, and they will be interviewing me soon. That's really about the only way I mention other podcasts is if they interview me. That way I can talk about them here. I will also be attending, thanks to now I have this new gig here in SoCal, I will be attending SoCal Linux Expo. I don't know whether I'm doing it as press, or I may be doing my, if I get together my proposal before Friday, I'll be doing my Half-Life with Pearl talk there, because that's been really well received a few times doing it before that. And Gareth, of course, that's your cue to talk about SoCal Linux Expo.
Scale, I've heard of that.
Yes.
Nice segue there. Scale is the Southern California Linux Expo. It's happening February 21st through the 23rd, 2014, in hopefully warm, sunny Los Angeles. Our call for papers is still open. Like you said, it ends on the 15th. So if anyone is interested in speaking at the show, you have a couple days to get your proposal in for consideration. If anyone's interested in attending, we are offering a discount code of FLOSS. Make sure I get that right. For a 50% discount on a full access pass to the show.
Cool. And that's great. So I'm definitely going to be there. I'm working out my travel schedule now to make sure that I'm going to show up. And like I said, I'm either going to want to ask to be press and just recover this Floss Weekly and do a lot of interviews. Or like I said, I've got this presentation that if the steering committee is so willing, I can actually give the talk. So cool. All right. Well, anything else before we get wrapped up, Gareth?
I wanted to say I was extremely jealous that you got to see the Large Hadron Collider in CERN.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked awesome. The pictures looked awesome.
Being the alpha geek in a lot of areas is really handy. Also, having been on 16, that was my 69th cruise. So, being in the correct cruise at the right time. We were at the LHC on a previous cruise, but it was actually operating. And, of course, that means the whole area where I was would be fatal to people. Not to mention highly magnetic, which is really weird. They have to be careful with their laptops that they don't get it too close to there's a painted mark on the ground. When the system's actually running, they can go in adjacent tunnels, but not the actual live tunnel. And there's a line on the ground that they can't go across because their laptops will be demagnetized. So it's really sort of screwy. But yeah, so we didn't actually get to go down to the tunnels last time, but to actually have stood by, and been right at, we were right at beam level basic at the CMS. So there was the giant thing pulled apart. You've probably seen pictures of that. And it was just amazing. It was such a privilege. Too bad we only had one day there. We could have taken more time to see a lot of other things. Anyway, yes, cool. And thank you for being jealous, I guess. What a crazy way to say that. But, of course, bandwidth permitting, we'll see you all again next time on Floss Weekly.